This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2202. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 3rd, Alaska, Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Cuba, Europe, France, Germany, Ireland, Isle of Man, Korea, North and South, Kurdistan, Madagascar, Maldives, Mexico, Mongolia, New Zealand, North America, Norway, Oklahoma, Pakistan, Romania, Solomon Islands, Spain, Switzerland, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. In case you've lost track of the current schedule of English broadcasts from KNLS direct from Alaska, here's the latest from the World Radio TV Handbook update via Hans-Jürg Wiener, 1 hour each. In case they have both transmitters in service, at 08-9695, at 10-UT-9580, at 12-7355 and 9795, and at 14-9580. Something much more unusual is coming from Alaska, UT Monday, August 14th. The final in three special broadcasts arranged by Amanda Dawn Christie using the AARP ionospheric research transmitters at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Thanks to Patrick Sullivan for passing on news of this. It was originally directed to the Wave Farm alumni group from Amanda Dawn Christie. It's UT Monday, August 14th from 0330 to 0430. That is Sunday evening in North America. As of July 29th, she says she was still not allowed to announce what frequencies would be in use, but they would be in the HF range between 2.8 and 10 MHz, modulated in AM, some slow scan TV, and some pulse wave Morse code. It's all rather complicated, but you need to read more about it if you're interested at this website. It's all one word, ghostsintheairglow.space. Her compositions are only considered complete artworks once they are received by radio on the ground after having ascended to and descended from the ionosphere. Christie states, "The interference, distortion, and modifications made by the ionosphere are an important part of the artwork's aesthetic. I see the ionosphere's contribution to the artwork to be just as important as my own. You never know what you're going to get, and the results are different depending on where on the planet you receive the transmissions. As a citizen science experiment, shortwave listeners from around the world are encouraged to tune in." Via remote in Argentina, I again heard LRA 36 Antarctica for another Saturday broadcast, July 29th, for about 3 hours, starting at 1756 UT, on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. Still nothing more from Norfolk Island on 5045, but that frequency is being used from Australia proper. In New Zealand DX Times, Brian Clark says, "Station X in Wee Waa, New South Wales, was testing an open carrier on 5044.989, co-channeled to Radio Bay Island with a much stronger signal on 5045.007. This was back on the 3rd of July. However, they were moving to 4970, and now we have many reports of that frequency from the X radio network in Wee Waa, New South Wales. That's not the ID heard, however. It's Radio 567, which is apparently the name of an internet station. At first, I thought 567 would refer to a medium-wave frequency." As of July 27th, Brian Clark said, "Music and ID is Radio 567, previously testing on 5025, but 4970 is now permanent, in conjunction with 2325 at night, when they get their aerials sorted." Then there were many logs of it from within Australia in Australian DX News for July 27th, 28th, and 29th. About the name, Chris Mackerel in New Zealand says, "Radio 567 is just a brand name, I think. They play music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, hence 567. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard started monitoring this immediately around his sunrise, getting a very weak signal. Its license shows 1 kilowatt, but it's thought to be running more like 100 watts. The licensee is named Peter Tate. More about it at this website, xrn www.thepointofcontact.com.au. Ron Hardwin on here this just about every morning from July 28th through August 2nd at least. He says, on the 2nd, at 1305 to 1335, bits and pieces of music, the best days so far, but still a little bit too weak to ID any songs. Walt Salmoni was also hearing it on 4970 via his listening post at Masset, British Columbia. Fair reception at 1402 TuneIn on August 2nd. As for other low-power Aussie stations, Ron Hard was also hearing Shortwave Australia, presume, on 4835 at the same time, July 31st at 1343 to 1353, when there was what he calls outstanding propagation. In New Zealand DX Times, Dean Lindenberg also logged this and measured the exact frequency of the remote in Australia, 4834.97, July 26th at 1015. And one more from him at the same time, Radio Simbon, near Sydney, NSW, 2368.39 kHz, July 26th at 10.08. There are also low-power shortwave stations in Brazil. As far as I know, these are not licensed, but also reported by Dean Lindenberg in New Zealand via remote inside Brazil. Radio Casa in Amparo, São Paulo, heard June 26th at 1308 on exactly 8,000 kHz with frequent IDs and time checks, and parallel to 7455, which he also logged at 1411. And also Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports on 7585 Radio Continental from the free state of Bahia on August 1st at 0954 to 1005 with PSAs about smoking, heart disease, and so forth, but basically Brazilian music with many singing IDs. It's been irregular. They had been off for 2 weeks. Announcing power is 250 watts. And he got a reply from the manager who said, as of August 3rd and 4th, they were on the air between 19 and 10 hours UT. Since at least July 31st, Trenton Military, CHR in Ontario, has been missing from its day frequency 15034 USB and night frequency 6754. And I've been making random checks. So, perhaps the Time Lords have banned it until they fix their clocks. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. This time, Bruce in Florida reported he was surprised to hear it in English on 5025 instead of Radio Rebelde on 11 July at 10.08 to 10.16 with an ID. No scheduled English broadcast from Cuba during that hour. And furthermore, Antonello Napolitano replies in his DX fanzine, me too. A few days ago, I heard RHC in English on 5025 at 04 UT. That was toward the end of July. And of course, there are many more anomalies which I report almost every day or night. Filed under Europe, but maybe just Netherlands, this from the website radiodelta.am, dated August 1st. On 22nd July, an interesting event took place on shortwave. Radio Casanova and Radio Delta conducted a QSOR conversation with each other on 6060, received by a listener named Hank in Dokkum. It was engaging and lively, discussing various topics, brought an energetic atmosphere to shortwave. Kari Kallio in Finland says, they didn't make clear that this story is about a subtenant of Radio Delta called Radio Casanova, at least on 6020 on Sunday mornings. Though it's not clear to me whether on 6060 they were actually two separate transmitters communicating or just a conversation between the two stations over a single transmitter. Via AER in Spain, news from Radio Atlantic 2000 International in France about its next broadcast via Channel 292 in Germany. Saturday, 12 August at 08 to 09 on 6070 and 9670. And repeated Saturday the 12th at 19 on 3955. And Sunday the 13th at 22 on the same. From the DRM.org website, from August 1st, shortwave will be broadcast from Germany by Zeta 2, that's SE-TA figure 2, a private German shortwave station with a 400-watt ERP transmitter in the town of Waldheim in Saxony, from 09 until 14 UT, starting August 1st and presumably continuing. We'll use different configurations to evaluate propagation and robustness. Content of programs, oldies without advertising. Ireland, two major radio masts have been demolished. via Mike Terry, historian, meathchronicle.ie, July 27th. Says the RTE radio masts for 567 kHz at Tullamore and 252 longwave at Summerhill, formerly Atlantic 252, were demolished on Tuesday the 25th and Thursday the 27th of July, respectively. A report by Connor Burns. A further story in the Trinity Bugle says, when the proposal to build the mast and transmitter was first introduced 37 years ago, it immediately encountered furious resistance from the small local community in Meath. They raised 50 kilo euro to challenge the permit through the courts. The battle lasted for over 4 years, but they lost. That is when the Irish Supreme Court ultimately ruled, which left a community shattered and dismayed. So now, of course, they are delighted that it's gone. As often happens, there's some video of the mast falling available online. Next filed under Isle of Man as a separate radio country, at least, in the British DX Club, Graham Stoker, M0EUK, says, Manx radio is always strong after dark in Northumberland on medium wave, but it was a bigger signal than I've ever noticed before. They appear to be running a much wider transmit bandwidth than anyone else, around 8.5 kHz either side of their carrier frequency, 1368. As a result, audio fidelity was superb. Simon Hockenhull replies, during the evenings, the Manx radio signal can be received clearly in the Bristol area. I've also noticed how good the audio quality is, especially on my older radios, which generally have slightly higher bandwidth. Neither of them mentions this, but of course that means there is more adjacent channel interference. Tony Pavick in BC reports that on July 28th, Voice of Korea was broadcasting languages other than those which had been scheduled. 15245 at 17, listed as Korean but was in Russian. 13760 at 1730, supposed to be Korean but was definitely Arabic. 13760 at 1800, supposed to be English but was in French. 13760 at 19, supposed to be Spanish but was in English. But the next day they were back to normal. Also on the 28th at 15 UT, 15245 in English, was colliding with China Radio International, which could barely be heard underneath, prompting me to exclaim, of course, commies versus commies. Ron Howard reports on clandestines for North Korea. 5920 with Shokuze or Seabreeze, JSR from Japan. August 2nd, Wednesday in English at 1335, but very poor due to North Korean super jamming. It was, however, clear on its parallel frequency, 6090. He says, when Shokuze moved to 5920, Voice of Freedom was also on that frequency, but they quickly moved up to their alternate 6045. For 3 days, July 31st to August 2nd, VOF was free of any jamming. So the super jamming had been especially slow following them, but by August 3rd, it had finally moved up to 6045. The Jotvente remote in Holland. On August 1st, I followed Dengewelat and the Turkish jammer for 6 hours on 17450, starting at 1546. Strangely enough, they both stayed on the same frequency for that entire period. You would expect the victim of the jamming to move away somewhere up toward 17500. Her basic propagation tells us that the jamming may not have been nearly as bad in the target area of Kurdistanish Turkey as it is over here. If DW is coming out of Uzbekistan, it may be at a more ideal skip distance than the Turkish jammer, much closer, skipping over. Port in New Zealand DX Time says another blow for listeners who use SDRs for listening and sending reception reports. A reply received from MGLOB Monitoring in Madagascar for a report on BBC via their site. It says, thanks for your reception report. However, we do not confirm reports in which SDR receivers are used. It's too easy to catch, and we are using these receivers as well to check our own reception quality. So reception reports from your own address with your own equipment are confirmed by us. Via medium, high, very high, and super high frequencies, World of Radio 2202. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Many thanks this week for a very generous contribution via PayPal, not originally in U.S. funds, from Peter Robinson in Preston, U.K., WORADIO@yahoo.com. He says, thanks for World of Radio, giving DXers and SWLs the best program about shortwaves. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. A long-standing mystery is the true transmitter site for Voice of Martyrs Korea, which has a special broadcast in the Divehi language for the Maldive Islands, trying to convert the Muslims there to Christianity. It's daily at 15 to 1530 UT on 11620. One early guess was Tashkent, Uzbekistan, but I don't think so. The reception is too good and too reliable here on the opposite side of the world. More likely, I think, is Kununurra, Australia, if it's really aiming at Maldives, still way off beam, but trans-equatorial, much more reliable propagation. Never been listed in HFCC, as VOMK keeps the site secret. TDOA, or Time Delay of Arrival Direction Finding technique, available via Kiwi remote receivers, has proven to be extremely unreliable. But I tried it again on August 2nd at 1525, using receivers in Hanoi, Qatar, and South Africa. The program ran, and it came up with most likely from 12 degrees south, 18 degrees east. That is, Angola? Surely not. In fact, the WRTH update now says the site is KNX for Kununurra. In ABDX, Joe Miller, KJ80 in Hemet, California, reports on the Tijuana station on 800 kHz. Heard July 27th at 04 UT with regional Mexican music, slogans as Radio Cadena and Esquina 32. He says despite an extended period off the air, it returned in April with a new format, despite keeping their sports-related call sign XESPN. Our correspondent from Tokyo, Japan, Takahito Akabayashi, has been visiting Mongolia, and he reported on the reception quality of long and medium wave transmitters there, as well as shortwave. He says Konkor is a small town in the Nalaik district of Ulaanbaatar, 15 kilometers east from the center of the capital. The transmitter site is at the foot of a hill, altitude about 1,470 meters above sea level. You can see the site from a slowly moving train. There are two tall towers at the southern end of the site, the tallest one apparently for long wave 164 kilohertz, the second tallest one for medium wave, formerly 990. Transmitter buildings are between the two towers, and there are eight short masts at the northern part of the site, probably for directional shortwave on 12015 and 12085 kHz. But what tower is the domestic shortwave on 7260 using for 50 kilowatts? Locals call this site the X-radio station of the communist era. It's at 47.8 north, 107.18 east. August 3rd at 0630, I was surprised to find a big 20 over 9 signal on 9655, ending a BBC news relay and then RNZ ID and their own news at 6:30, instead of 11725 from New Zealand. This may have been a test, as the first Wednesday and Thursday of the month is their maintenance day. And earlier at 0540, John Dundas of the Ontario DX Association was hearing NZ on a different, unexpected frequency, 6095. Remains to be seen whether these will be used in the future or back to 11725, as still shown on their current schedule. Late night, Lunatics, the pirate on 6869.912 AM, had a much better signal than before, July 29th at 0639, but not heard since then. Since he moved from 7400 to 6200 AM, the Russian ethnic pirate radio channel Eastern Star, I've not had much luck in hearing him, but August 3rd, Ron Howard did. He says, Radio Vostochnaya Zvezda, clearly a boost in power, mostly Russian ballads, announces in Russian and English. He said, I had not checked any signal recently. Nice to have this stronger signal, but there was extremely strong summertime noise. That was at 0846 to 0935, and later that day he got a reply to his report. Yes, a strong signal. I can't wait to see what it will be like in the winter. I made a small adjustment, and the power output should be even higher tonight. I can go up to 100 watts carrier, 400 BEP. I'm running more power than I have ever before on shortwave. Keep your eyes peeled. I might be doing some SSTV soon. That will be when I have a very strong signal. I will be adding a handful of new songs soon, and the name change is still coming up. Via Alan Pennington, British DX Club, this from Sven Martinsen on FB, 31 July, from Norway. The shortwave outlet of Radio Northern Star, 5895, has taken a holiday from 1240 UT today, July 31st. We plan to be back on the air about August 10th, playing as usual classic pop and rock from both sides of the Atlantic. I was pleased to hear that KUSH 1600 in Cushing, Oklahoma, whose main format is Americana music, has an hour of national native news and native drumming and chanting, Saturdays at 15 UT. From Radio Pakistan's website via Idun Ritz and Mike Terry, Radio Pakistan is launching a digital medium wave transmitter project in Rawat. Groundbreaking a project under which a 1,000 kilowatt digital transmitter will be installed at Rawat to be completed in 2 years at a cost of 4 giga rupees, a milestone in modernizing the state broadcaster and enhancing the quality of its broadcast. Increasing the signal strength and range of Radio Pakistan to several countries in Central Asia, Middle East, Far East, Turkey, and Greece, in addition to South Asia, using the DRM technology. Website also gives the planned frequency as 700 kHz instead of 702. Maybe they just rounded it off. Guy Ludwig has read more of the translation. It says more than 52 countries would be reached. And the location is nothing else than the Islamabad shortwave site, where all transmitters are broken beyond repair for years. July 30th at 22:39 during the English hour from Romania to Western Europe and North America on 11800 exactly, there was dead air, but still running on the other three frequencies. This may have preceded something that would follow on July 31st. News on their website, 2 out of the 5 transmitters of RRI are temporarily suspended as of 1 August. One of the 2 at Chiganeshti and one of the other 2 at Galbeni, while the one at Satika would still run. It's because of budget cuts. As soon as the budget is restored, we will resume broadcast on all 5 transmitters. This affects programs in many languages, including English. Also, the nighttime power of medium-wave transmitters have been reduced. Stephen Luce in Houston says, listening via remote in Holland, I've noticed recently that the long-wave transmitter on 153 appears weaker than normal. I'm amazed that RRI has held on this long to shortwave. I have a feeling a complete shortwave closure is not far off. Several monitors put a lot of effort into checking which frequencies remain and which ones are gone, but here is the latest schedule from their website via Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight for English. As usual, 1 hour from the top of the hour, but half an hour if it starts at the bottom of the hour, first for Western Europe or Eastern North America. At midnight, 11620. At 03, 9850. At 0530, 11960. At 11, 17630. At 17, 13750 DRM. At 2030, 11975 DRM. And 13650. At 22, 11800. And to other targets at 03, 15330 DRM. At 0530, 21550. At 11, 17670. And at 22, 9790. Ron Howard has been hearing Solomon Islands, B.C. on 5020, staying on the air well past their normal 1200 UT closing, such as July 29th past 1410, and also much later on the following few days. Mostly music, August 2nd past 1355. Via Paul Watson in the British DX Club, Indie Radio in Spain reports on their Twitter account, that's INDY, during the summer, we were broadcasting on 6931 AM, daily at 19 until midnight UT, and online 24/7 indyradio.eu. From DRMNA via Mike Terry, Swiss private DRM supporter C.M. Albrecht has a broadcast coming up Friday, August 11th at 23 UT on 12030, 100 kilowatts via Ascension, targeted at Brazil. First time his original music has beamed out of that site. Chris Greenway says, my BBC World Service colleagues seek reports of interference to any of these frequencies. 7425 at midnight to 2 GMT, 5945 at midnight to 1, 9495 at 1 to 2, 15310 at 12 to 14, 17790 at 12 to 13, or 11870 from 13 until 14. Reports to worldservice.letters@bbc.co.uk. ARRL now stands for the National Association for Amateur Radio. Another press release from them via Ben Cobb, dated August 2nd. Headline, ARRL files comments against seriously flawed HF rules petition by the Shortwave Modernization Coalition at the FCC. If the proposed rules are adopted, The new operations inevitably will cause significant harmful interference to many users of adjacent and nearby spectrum, including amateur radio licensees. Three World of Radio broadcasts on WRMI 9395 were missed August 1st and 3rd because it was off the air. Jeff said we were experiencing a major technical problem with that transmitter. We may be able to repair it by the next day, and indeed they were back on by 23 UT on August 3rd. Terry Colgan of Texas Radio Shortwave says, we have two weekend programs the first weekend of August that may interest DXers, especially QSL collectors. First, at midnight UT Sunday, August 6th on 5950 WRMI, Radio Igloo's tribute to Swedish FM pirate station Radio Sid, as I mentioned last week. The programs have long been a favorite of North American listeners who have never heard Radio Sid. Igloo's offering a nice QSL for correct reports, too, radioigloo@gmail.com. And then at 01 UT Sunday on 5950 and at 12 UT on 15770, greeting the Finnish DX Association summer meeting in Savo, Finland, which is on August 4th, 5th, and 6th, includes a message from the meeting. QSL for program displays the SDXL logo and the dates. Available for correct detailed reception reports to our usual email, texasradiosw@gmail.com. By the way, 3 weeks later at midnight UT Sunday, August 27th, TRSW will be featuring a couple of old World of Radio airings from 1986. More about that as the time approaches. Via Alan Rowe, Luca Trifon of Radio Carpathia in Romania posted this on FB. The beloved This Is a Music Show has ceased broadcasting for the foreseeable future. But rest assured, the slot it was previously using, Thursdays at 02 to 03 on WRMI 5850, is now in good hands. In the first 30 minutes, starting at 02, a monthly episode of Radio Carpathia, presented by myself, with the best music from Eastern Europe. New shows air on the Thursday following the third Sunday of every month, repeated throughout the month. In the other half of that hour, a special program from Radio Northern Europe International, called RNE Extra, introducing listeners to new genres. Its other program is at the regular time of 01 UT on the same day and frequency. Alan Rowe says Alan Wiener posted this tweet on X August 2nd. Something big and special coming to Radio Angela 5130. Keep your ears on as we burn up our planet. Updates from George McClintock as of July 31st about KVOH. Their transmitters have already been scrapped. Not clear about their antennas yet. Their low-power FM is still running but depends on, at least for the site, continuing. Apparently they are looking for a new shortwave site in the area of California, rather than moving into the WTWW site. And about WTWW itself, George says it has still not returned to the air at all. He's been tearing apart the number one transmitter to get it fixed and operational. A church is considering buying the property. The previous owner was a perpetual motion scammer who skipped town after a phony demonstration, which was really hooked up to Powerline. Fish from WEWN had been off the air since last summer, but it was back on 15610, first heard by Rick Barton and myself, Sunday, July 31st, before midnight UT. WWN, more Catholic than the Pope. Propagation outlook from the Space Weather Prediction Center issued July 31st. ANK indices peaking at 12 and 3 on August 5th, 12 and 4 on August 26th, otherwise mostly 5 and 2 or 8 and 3. Solar flux within a few points of 170 through August 26th. It's World of Radio 2202, with many thanks to all our contributors and stations. Glenn Hauser concluding and inviting you to hear me again next week with a standard disclaimer.